congregation. Let's have a city.
So it is 6 o'clock on Wednesday, May 14th. And this is a regularly scheduled planning work meeting.
So that then there is more enforcement.
In attendance.
The theory's there, let's just put it in practice.
Are John Valenti, Richard Howard, Hugh Howard, Matt Jewison, Alan Weiss, Kyson, I guess that's all of us, and the staff. Welcome. We don't have a flag, but perhaps we could manage to pledge allegiance to it anyhow. Could I have a volunteer to give us an invocation and pledge allegiance? Lead us in the pledge. Thanks, Richard.
Do you want to do a prayer too?
Yes, please.
Oh. Our Father in heaven, as we come before you tonight, planning commission work meeting. We're grateful for this opportunity to serve and be able to work on issues and subjects that are important to our town and the people that live here. Grateful for the freedoms that we have that enable us to be able to do this process, and pray that we might have clear heads and sound minds and thoughts of how to best go forward with these policies for the town, and these things we pray in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Think about putting in your mind and ready.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks. We've lost our attorney. Can we legally start with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he gonna be here tonight? Is he out
there? He's here.
He's here. Sent a good memo today. So glad to have him.
They're
okay.
So item number one is mixed use zone, and where did you? Are you here to present or just to join in the discussion?
I'll do whatever you like me to. So we had, obviously, I have a very direct and positive interest in helping getting the mixed-use zone implemented into the city for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, for my own self personally, but as far as expansion in the city and things that are happening up on the upper plateau as well, I've been asked to be invited into some of the development there in the future. So I did a presentation or a proposal that you've all seen in terms of my request or where I feel there's a lot of positivity. So I'm more here for support, answering questions, maybe kind of go over if there are anything negative, because my project could be a good guinea pig for this, and so we could work out a lot of the kinks that would definitely be able to be expanded into the rest of the city.
Okay. You also have this. This is a proposed development that's wanting to go north across the street from the farmers market, and they're wanting to have a mixed-use component. There's going to be a hotel in the front there. Page 2 shows you the hotel. And then north of that, just south of that old Trouble Youth Home, they're wanting a mixed-use component with shopping on the bottom and, as I understand it, residential up above. So we've kicked around mixed-use for a couple of years now, and it's probably time for us to decide how we're going to move forward with it. It feels like we're all in agreement that in some version it needs to happen, but we just seem to never agree on how we think it should happen. Comments, feelings? I've been places where your downtown and there's laundry hanging out on the bicycles or on the balconies, and I don't think that's in Lubbercombe's best interest. What Blair has, unless things change, is going to require people to access upstairs from downstairs, which seems to me like it's just going to automatically preclude vacation rentals sneaking in there. And very likely the people who live upstairs are either going to be owners or employees. I'd like us to see restrictions kind of like that.
Do we have any idea, like, how many? You know, is it a family? Is it more than one family? Is it five people, two people, eight people? You know, it kind of, it seems like some things naturally fit in the building and some things don't. And that's kind of one of the curiosities.
I'm happy just to pipe in if you like.
Please.
And maybe it's me asking more questions than it is giving statements. Mm-hmm. But what's the biggest fear or risk to the city by having this zone? What is your biggest scare?
When Hurricane grows a little bit, they just establish a new business district. Lubbercombe can never do that. We have our State Street. There's going to be some up topside, but mostly all we have is our State Street. And I grew up here. It was junky, ran-down businesses from, you've been here longer than I, from the early 70s, and nothing ever seemed to stay. They'd be in business for 6 months, and then it'd be a vacant building. It just feels like we have to be really careful right now, because we're not going back on it. And we have limited... we're starting to look like the game of Monopoly at the end of the game with our hotels. We have limited commercial, and we just need to be careful how we're dealing with it.
I think there's two different styles of multi-use, too, and that gives me pause, too, because you got, well, maybe more, because you've got ones like yours, and then you got ones like this where there's probably multiple retails in the bottom and multiple housing up top. Or you could have just a little mom and pop shop that pops up, and then you got an apartment on top. Or you could even have a case where, I was reading here, they have to have a garage. Well, what if they only have a 200 square foot commercial area, and they have a huge garage, and then this 14, 18, 2,000 square foot apartment on top of it? Like, what's the look, and how do you separate those two out? You have to have two different types of... or separate based on percentages and multi-housing use or single residence type of use. I looked at Cedar City and that's how theirs is kind of set up. They actually have like three different ones because they have some around SUU and then they have some separate ones. But and so they have it separated that way. And if we were ever to open up Main Street and have that as an overlay business district, you'd probably get more of the little shops with the house on top.
Can I jump? Please. What you have here, and I don't know where this came from, I suppose, but this is really a true mixed use.
Yeah.
This is what you're more used to seeing in a mixed use. This is what you will see in other communities where you've got the commercial below and then you've got the residential above. And they don't necessarily need to be commingled with each other. Normally they're not. It's just people living above the commercial. The proposal I put together for the mixed use was more geared around something like this. What he wants to do is not this. And so my thought was maybe what we do, his is more of a live work, in my opinion. Where people are going to be living there, at least he wants them to live there and work there. That's not what this is probably going to be. So my thought was, in order to address the concerns you brought up at the last meeting, which I thought were very good, you just come up with a different zone, like a live-work zone, that deals with what his issues are, if you want to go that path. instead of trying to cram everything into this one mixed-used type zone, because it's going to get pretty confusing here after a while. Trying to smash everything into this in the mixed-use zone proposal that I put together.
I actually kind of like that.
It is confusing.
Yeah. Especially when you think about the different possibilities that this would allow that you're not even thinking about.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about some parking issues last time. We can focus.
Yeah, there's parking issues.
But we can focus that if you're looking to do something like that with him. You could focus. You could cut out. I put all kinds of uses in there because I was thinking more in this terms. You know, you can really focus it down to just a few uses that make sense for what he wants to do. So,
which I kind of like because it allows us. I don't know if I have as much. I do have concern with parking, but not as much as just having a zone that makes sense for a live work. So having two zones in my mind makes more sense so that you can have different landscape requirements. Like the requirements that you have need to be more specific for the zones, I think. And it allows us to do that and not, like something like this that they want to do is going to take, I think, a lot of time to put together. Where we kind of know as a mixed use what we're trying to do, or excuse me, with a live work, what's really intended. So it allows us to just get a little bit more specific.
Well, and to add to this, again, addressing the concerns is always the most important part, right? Because it's always, let's address the concerns, and if they're solvable, great. If they're not solvable, then we can figure out why. My intention is a live work. It is that someone's living there, they own it, they have to have a business license, they're owner occupying the site. That's definitely primary number one. Now, why I do that is because every municipality that I've ever been in is Blair House to help us solve our affordable housing. I can't. I can't buy the ground cheap enough. I can't put enough density on it because then you get, unfortunately, you get the bikes and the laundry that's hanging out the window, right? So that's one of my intentions is to provide that live-work option. The parking and the CC&Rs are designed to help support what the city wants. The look, the feel, the professionalism, the control, the enforcement. And then adding to a live work mixed use zone, because what you're looking at and what's proposed over you're looking at here does have a completely different use, right? 9 times out of 10, the retail is going to be owned by one person, one entity, one corporation. And then you're going to have multiple apartments, townhome style, whatever the look is. There's stuff in Park City, there's stuff in Provo. There's a lot of this example. And they are kind of apples and oranges. But if the enforcement side of it, for the city's perspective, because it is, you do have some limited resources in terms of commercial, is where I suggest, if it's not already been proposed, is the development agreement that allows the city, and I think we talked about this in one meeting, because the city needs to have some sort of say in the enforcement of the CC&Rs without the obligation of enforcement. You guys don't want to be enforcing who's there, right? Other than
the problem is with CC&Rs, though, the city really shouldn't be enforcing CC&Rs. That's why I'm saying a separate zone. We could put in those things that would protect the city and what they're looking for, and then you and your people deal with your own CC&Rs.
Exactly. Like, I don't want the city to enforce, but I want the city's input. I have no problem as a developer saying, city, here's, before we amend a CC&R or amend an adjustment, you guys get a say in it. Doesn't mean you have to enforce it. But what a lot of cities that I've dealt with get frustrated is like, well, where you left, the CC&Rs changed, not me personally, but in other developments. CC&Rs changed, we had no idea. And now we're not happy. Well, with the development agreement, that basically says any change within the CC&R, the city gets the right to look at it, approve. Now, here's my risk, right, is you guys don't like what I want to implore. Currently, I have no reason to change the CC&Rs, none whatsoever. I have no intention in the future. We want to be able to, that's one of the reasons I chose this site, is the commercial setting, is because it allows for the maximum amount of commercial allocation. Now, if we can overlay a mixed-use zone that makes sense to you guys as the city, then that's even better.
But CC&Rs are made flexible, too.
We've got one more.
I mean, to reflect change, it may occur, maybe with some of your uses or whatever. So,
I can say,
But no, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, you can spot over here, Patty, if you want.
So anyways, my thought would be, you kind of split this up. You go back to more of a traditional mixed use zone that would address these types of developments. And then you deal with what he wants to do separately in the separate zone. And we could get all the different things you guys wanted into that zone so that you feel comfortable about it. Instead of trying to just put this thing together because it's getting to be too much, right? In my opinion.
And they are two different applications, Joe. I'm sorry. The beauty about live work is it's you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to take someone else's language and what you've done and just add the extras that you're looking for or anything that possibly might be missing.
My thought last time, though, was there was more kind of uses in part of that were kind of issues that you guys had.
Uses are a big one, though.
Yeah, there's a lot more retail for, you know, I mean, you're not going to have a coffee shop or, you know, something like that. We're going to have 20 people coming in and sitting for an hour or something like that.
Well, it's completely different than that. Too, that didn't make sense for his
But it makes sense for this.
But it makes sense.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
well,
there,
I think that's what Jones makes the most sense for that purpose.
This is kind of a come-and-go business, the delivery pickup. You know, you have a place to create or work or and live also, but it's meant to be a totally different animal. It's not a retail, not really a retail business.
It's
more of
an
industrial type of application.
I wouldn't even say industrial because that kind of
well, it could be an artist. I saw that.
Artist,
artist to florist. I mean, any kind of art.
Yeah, currently, right now, our interest. So we have an open house coming up on Saturday, intended to. You've probably seen the announcements. We're 100% not advertising anything residential. Just be very clear. We're 100% letting people know this is not a nightly rental. This is not the application. It's not even allowed. The interest that we have in the buyers that are there is we have a garage door company, we have two attorneys and an engineer that wants to put the office upstairs and then so they can park downstairs. We have, who else did I tell you? It was, pardon me?
Interior.
Oh, the interior designer that wants to basically stage the garage area. So she has different furniture and then she'll run her office upstairs. We've had no interest in residential yet. Just so you know, most of all of our buyer interest is commercial application and business application. Will we get it? Of course, I promise you. That's one of the reasons that I have my ultimate intention is to be able to have a live work mixed use on this property. So, but you're 100% right. I mean, there's so many different uses, and the oversight of making sure there's a business license on my particular site specifically. But having the application that they're trying to do, as Brad said, is completely, is really quite different than what I'm trying to accomplish.
Why didn't we think of this weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I will comment, you know, because this has been on my brain since I bought the property. So.
It seems to me that's what we need to do. Either probably its own zone, and we're not specifically just doing it for one piece of property. It's going to become a zone in the city and a completely different zone.
I think we should make it like a tourist residential where they have to meet certain requirements, 2 acres and...
Like for vacation rentals?
Yeah.
We've talked about that for Topside.
Well, no, for even like a mixed use, so they have to still... So we can kind of not have it in every little...
Well, you don't have to have...
every lot, you know what I mean? So we can still save some lots for other development.
So how do you overlay it? It is more of my curiosity. So you guys can still decide what parts of the city that you want a live work or a mixed use zone, right?
What I was suggesting is to have an actual zone. And your zone would be changed to not mixed use, but live work, so to speak.
From commercial to
commercial. And then if somebody else wanted to do it in town, then these guys decide whether that's the proper place for that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Zone.
Like an LW.
And then it really focuses and narrows down what you're trying to do, but it allows other people to do it too, if in fact you have that ability somewhere too.
I like the ability to control it that way. What worries me, our grandparents had a mixed use live work, a little corner grocery store, and they lived in the back. And that's all they could afford. them through the Depression years, and it worked for them. But once we open Pandora's box, if there's a way to actually shutter some parts of it, Blair, I like what you've done. This is just a personal thing. I wish it was in an industrial park and not in downtown Berkin. It's classy, though. But I hate the idea
that... We don't get an industrial park.
We don't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I just wish. But so if there's a way, like Brad describes, and you've had some experience with this, I imagine,
yes,
that we can keep control of Pandora's box, because mixed use actually is the grandson of mixed use, and it worked really well, and actually the son of a mixed use. And actually, you and I put ourselves through school in a mixed use. We ran our own business right in the home. So, yes.
Well, then I love that.
Let's do this.
I got a great site for you.
Yeah.
For your grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I, we put a lot of work into that.
Well, done laboratory would work fine.
Yeah, we did.
I started my business that way, too. I was 2.5 years in the basement. I never asked anyone if it was legal. It didn't occur to me that it might not be. It probably wasn't.
It worked out better, didn't it? But if what we're talking about is the way to keep Pandora under at least watch.
Yep, I think so. And then as people applied with something like this, we could decide whether to authorize or to change that zone for them or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, this one would be like, your typical, again, your typical mixed use. And on top of that, what I developed was the planning unit development overlay on top of this. So you, as the planning commission and the council, could actually see everything going on. It wouldn't just be a program. You'd have input into the parking, you'd have input in landscaping, the architecture. You'd have pretty much full control over something like that, including a development agreement.
Well, I like that, because the biggest thing I'm worried about is policing it. If you look at what's happened to our place next door, when our nephew moved out, he sold it to a fellow that divided up into a bunch of rooms. And now we have 14 cars all packed around there, and nobody to police it. I mean, it isn't like you want to run them off or anything. It's just that if that happens all over town with something that doesn't have an ability to police or regulate it.
Yeah, that would be... ideal, you know, after the business fails or something, they move out, they have a place to rent to, you know, how do you police that it's not people, because, I mean, like he says, you know, like house next to ours, how do you, they've got family living out in a little garage without any plumbing or anything, so...
It's the idea is that once it's built, somebody's going to live there.
Yeah.
We're here without adult supervision. Oh, there he is.
I was also thinking this might be more on live-work, but unless we had a minimum dwelling unit, but it'd be good to have a minimum commercial unit that's either tied, like 800 square feet, or tied to a percentage of the overall bottom floor, because that's where it would have to be.
Or like a mixed use.
A live work type of deal.
Okay. Live work, in fact, if you look at a lot of the other municipalities, and the minimums allow for a certain number of bedrooms, certain number of bedrooms. So there's great language that's acceptable in the live work space, even with your neighbor.
Just so you don't have, like I was saying, get a huge garage and a living space that's over it in a tiny commercial area.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we did the parking the way we did it, is to eliminate too much, right? Because there's just nowhere to fit it. And so we did that on purpose, ironically. Some people look at it as, oh, it's a limitation. We actually did it intentionally.
One thing I've noticed in, like, there's a town that's been very successful at this in North Carolina.
Okay.
And those towns that do it right, it's cute. It brings the community together. It brings back a downtown instead of this urban sprawl that we get with no heart. So if it's done right, it can be very, very appealing and bring your community together. You know, you have your florist and your whatever right there where you're not having to go to St. George. So it can really be cool if it's done right.
Your bet.
I don't want him to.
But if you could notice, and again, we need to stay focused more city-based, right? This is not the Blair Show, but city-based, like, to add to my last thing, one of the reasons I did my decks and my spacing and my overlook is because that's what we want, is the people to know their neighbors and be polite and nice and have a nice community. There's a little putting green that's going to be between two of the buildings that people can come and commune and have togetherness, so to speak. And so it was my way of trying to incorporate that as much as possible while trying to maximize the amount of square footage, because ground is stupid expensive. So to make anything quote-unquote profitable, I wish I could have taken two buildings out.
How do you kind of see foot traffic as interacting with that space?
Well, and foot traffic's going to be not the primary intention there, because it depends on what the businesses are, right? Mm-hmm. Because we don't allow a lot of parking. Mm-hmm. The vicinity of what with the hot springs and Red Rock and all the different things is going to Maverick and all the new potential development that's going to happen through Laverkan City. We'll get people that are going through there, but foot traffic, unfortunately, because of the cost of the ground and the amount of buildings I had to put in to make it justifiable, I couldn't provide like an interior park area or anything of that nature.
I was just curious about your experience with that and other buildings.
The interesting part is the interior foot traffic, like your mixed use that this gentleman's or this developer's proposing.
This is Mr. Hillier, and he's on the phone with us right now.
Oh, good.
Just joined us.
Yeah. So this might be that foot traffic. There might be additional. I haven't looked at the plans, but additional common area that allow that to happen. Obviously, if this is going up, density is going to be higher above the retail of that nature. So this is a great, as Brad said, mixed use, as the true definition of mixed use is. Mine's more of a live-work application.
So Derek and Faye, we've kind of, I think, reached a consensus to separate a live-work zone and from a mixed-use zone. Have them have different requirements and standards, and instead of trying to fit, because they are different uses, different applications. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Catch me up.
Yeah, just real briefly, I brought it up because you now got this proposed development, possibly.
Yeah, which, sorry, we just got presented, and I thought as we were doing it, it would be nice to.
Yeah. Yeah. And, bring it up. And this is really your true mixed use development, where what he's doing is more of a live work development. So my thought was, just try it, instead of trying to put everything into one ordinance, just separate these things. Let's do a live work and then do a mixed use.
And anyway, not as an overlay, as an
not
actual
zone. Not an overlay. Now, the overlay would be the planned unit development or something like that.
Yes.
But for what he's doing, no. And I think just one last comment on his, and you kind of hit on it. I think we're all kidding ourselves to think that someday somebody won't live in one of those units. They're nice units. I mean, if I were an incubator, if I were a new business, I'd live there. I'd live there and I'd work there. So I think we're better off just addressing that right up front, if that's what the commission wants to do, because it's going to happen anyway. Yeah.
Anytime you build a place to live, people are going to live there.
And if we do it right, that'll be a plus for us. I think that's not a negative.
I hope it's not. That's my fear.
One thing, I've mentioned this to Derek in the just discussion I had with him. One thing that I really like that Blair's done on his units, one of the concerns I had is the majority of our commercial or our highway commercial that could potentially have this has residential by it. And so it makes it hard to, in our current zoning the way it is, the heights, we don't have a lot of control, and I think it's nice to have some height towards the highway. Honestly, it's appealing. But one of the things I really appreciated about his that he's done, and I think we need to try to figure out how to write it into this zone, would be some specifications or standards on, instead of having railing, if they're going to have a deck, instead of having railing, actually have a true wall that buffers the view to the neighbors. When we were there looking at the units, to be able to see, there was a guy barbecuing at the church next door. You could smell it, but to see him, you physically had to lean over that railing or that wall to see. And so they could be sitting on their patio, they could be standing at the patio, and no one would be able to see into the yards without physically trying to. And so that's just one. I think we need to look at that as we have residential around us to help with the residential, but also to protect their view a little bit. Can't really do that with windows, but I think you can with some of these decks that are coming.
Tell me now, because I got railings going on the decks that are facing into the community or into the development are railings, and the decks we have facing into neighbors we have solid.
I think that's
facing the residential, it makes more sense to have it solid. If it's into the development itself, I don't see a need. It's not
good. I just want to make sure I was clear, because I think once you walk in and go,
no, that's one of the things I really loved. I'm like, okay. That I think if we could figure out how to put it into the zone or into that the wording, it would be really nice. It would help to protect a little bit.
So what I would suggest we do, if it's okay with you guys, is let me put together this new zone, this live work zone, and let me take out the live work stuff out of this other mixed use that we had, and then sit down again and just look at it and see what you like and what you don't like, what you want to add and what you don't want to add. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
But you're feeling that the zone that we have before us now would be more accommodating for Mr. Hilliard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I wrote that for something like this, not necessarily for something like what he wants to do.
Hopefully he's hearing us.
Yeah. So let me tweak the one that I put together and then come up with a new one. And then I think if we sit down again and just kind of hash out what you want in there.
Is it okay if I chime in real quick?
Please.
Let's see. I'm probably not current on exactly what live work zone really includes, but I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what we're looking at. So we are currently zoned commercial for up to 4 stories. Our hotel will be 4 stories, and then we were considering a second hotel. There's just not enough demand in the area. It'll be years before that's realized for a second hotel to ever pencil out, and so we would have an empty lot there for years and years. And really the missing piece that we see and our study shows is affordable housing, some residential apartments, and so what we want to do is a mixed-use zone, which would be majority of retail on the bottom floor, so city gets to keep that commercial property and revenues. And then as you go up, 3 stories have apartments, between 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. But one of the ideas that we have that will be enticing for staff is that we would be able to provide 1 or 2 apartments to our general manager of both the hotel and this apartment complex, as well as our maintenance manager, maybe a few other positions. So it would actually incorporate some live work space as well. So I just want to kind of throw that out there.
I think the live work we're talking about here is different than what you're talking about.
You're talking about workforce housing, right?
Yeah.
What we're talking about.
We're talking about people that are actually manufacturing.
Got it.
Things on the property. So,
and, okay.
And I think what we're trying to do is address both you and the other project that we have before us here. And I think there's a way to do it. And you probably should be part of the next conversation too, I would think.
Perfect.
That is the concept we've been pushing too, is right?
Yeah.
I mean, having a manager and employees be able to stay,
yeah,
you know, and be part of the overall, you know, keep being able to keep people, if you end up paying enough, at least they can stay there and be part of your package deal or something.
So what do you do when you have, like, families, like kids, and, you know, they're out riding their bikes and they want a place to play?
I think you're going to have to think about that in the code or in, like, the zone and come up with whether it's open space or something that can accommodate, but I don't know if you're going to accommodate everything perfectly.
I think the mixed use I put together for something like this was like 100 square yeah. feet mm-hmm. private and then 100 common somewhere on this development, like a playground or something like that would accommodate that. But I don't think you're going to get like, you know, some gigantic baseball field or something like that, but something that, or a pool or clubhouse or those type of things.
Seems like yours had storage units also.
Did, yeah, I've had experience in the past where if you don't have storage inside of a unit or by your car or your garage, people will just put it on their
balcony.
Yeah, and it looks like crap. So, yeah. So I tried to think of everything that I've come across over the years to try to put it in there.
Further comments? So we're going to send it back and do two different zones, one for live work and one for mixed use.
Brad, are you going to be able to help maybe the draft copy for our next meeting?
Yeah, when is your next meeting?
This is in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? What date would that be?
Even if we put Blair's ahead, because
Dave
is kind of going through the process right now, so there would be a little bit of lag time there if we needed to, but he's going on Blair's sooner than we need through that process.
And I'm willing to help any way I can, I guess.
The 28th or so? Yeah. Is that the week after the holiday?
I think Memorial Day is 26th.
I'm gone that week. But I can put it together.
Maybe put it together and then get together on it.
Okay.
I'm going to start taking vacation right now.
I'm retired. Or you can do it June if you want. I mean, I'm available anytime except for that 1 week. So.
Well, Brad can get ready. We could talk about it, you know, start the process, and then when Brad comes back, maybe we have worked out through some of the things, or I can get him a list of things that we would like to address differently. And have him come back and represent that on the first meeting in July and June.
Okay. Further comment there? Item number 2, discussion regarding Interstate Rock Products proposal to create a critical infrastructure materials protection area.
You guys need me for anything else?
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hey, isn't it good? When is the open house?
Saturday, 10 to 2. Come have some orange peel and come sit down. We got stairs to the top. And
orange peel?
Yeah. You know, the shakes, you love those.
Not barbecue or
well,
crawfish?
I could do a barbecue for you. Just give me a special order.
And the church next door.
So I've seen quite a bit on this. Would you like to address it?
Yeah, let me explain kind of where I think we are on this thing.
Okay.
We received an application for creation of the Critical Infrastructure Materials Protection Area. That application by state law is required to go to the County Advisory Board, which has now been formed, and also to the Land Commission. Each of those bodies has a 45-day period to review it and then come back with a recommendation to the City Council. If no recommendation is submitted, then by law it's deemed to have been recommended approval. Okay. So we have until actually I think it's June 16th to come up with that written recommendation. So because we haven't had a chance to talk about this as a planning commission, I thought it would be a good idea to place it on the agenda simply for the purpose of introducing it to the Planning Commission, passing out relevant materials to give you a chance to go through this, review this, and then at our next two meetings, we'll have an opportunity to discuss it in more depth and detail when we can also be in our larger facility next door and people can come in and hear what we're doing. It's unfortunate tonight that, you know, that there, it's under construction, I guess, next door. Is that why we're not in there?
It's a work meeting.
Just because it's a work meeting.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, because anytime a work meeting is actually open to the public, and anytime you close a meeting like that or say, sorry, we don't have room for you to come in, then it makes people feel like we're trying to hide something, and that's certainly not what we're trying to do. We're just beginning the process as the Planning Commission to go through this, review it, and come up with a recommendation. Now, I've given you, to help you do that, I've given you a copy of the application submitted by Interstate Rock, a copy of the map that shows the territory that we're talking about, a copy of the notice that was sent out to residents, giving them time to file written objections. They had a 15-day period to file written objections. And then I've included objections that we received during that 15-day period. And I've also enclosed or attached two memos from me to help explain the relationship of the statute governing formation of this CIMPA, what we call it, this Critical Infrastructure Materials Protection Area, with a recently approved state law, House Bill 355, which grants certain operators vested rights in critical infrastructure materials extraction. Okay, so it's a little bit confusing. You have the existing law that allows us to create a protection area, and then you have the new law, which grants to operators certain rights, irrespective of what we do. And so there's some language in the new law that talks about concrete and asphalt batch plants. So when people read that, they get very alarmed and say, oh, you're approving a concrete batch and da 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 da. Well, the answer to that is no, we're not. That's something that state law has already approved if they have a vested right and it's an existing legal use. What we're doing is something totally different. The rights that we're granting, are something totally different. There is some interplay between the two statutes, and that's what makes it confusing. So, again, I passed out all that information, a couple of memos. I passed out the statutes for you to take a look at, so that you can see the criteria that we need to take a look at in making our recommendation to the City Council. I didn't anticipate that we would have a long discussion about it this evening, just simply because I knew that it wouldn't be open, or not open, but it wouldn't, there'd be no chance for the public to be here and make comments. And rather than go through that process without people being here, I thought it best just simply to introduce it. Then the next two meetings, it'll be on our agenda. We'll have our meetings out here. People will be able to come, listen, hear, make comments, or whatever they want to do.
Okay. Just to go back, because that memo you sent out today was really important for us to understand it. Just going back to when we were kids, and because we grew up here, we saw how they've been doing the mining down there for years. What is the difference between what's been happening in Kyson, I guess maybe you'd know as well, the mining that's been going on in this critical infrastructure, has it just been unregulated at this point? It just started up, somebody getting a bucket load of gravel 100 years ago.
No,
and so what is driving this now?
It's not been unregulated. Utah State Department of Environmental Quality regulates dust, noise, those kinds of things. And to some extent, even though this is technically not a mining operation, a lot of people call it a mining operation. This is not a mining operation according to the letter of the law. This is just a sand and gravel extraction operation. Critical infrastructure materials extraction operation.
If it has been, what's driving the formality of this?
Well, because by granting the status of a protection area, there are certain things, certain protections that it bestows on the operator that they otherwise wouldn't have. Those are set out, let me just refer to it really quickly, but those are set out in my memo, what those protections are. Okay, first of all, if we grant it, the city is required to encourage the continuity, development, and viability of the critical infrastructure materials operations within the relevant protection area by not enacting a local law, ordinance, or regulation that, unless the law, ordinance, or regulation bears a direct relationship to public health or safety, would unreasonably restrict critical infrastructure materials extraction operations. So we this can't pass any new law.
This is one of the 6 points that you summarized.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of a long summary of the first point.
Yeah, but it was really an important one.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate
what
that
it
you
means
did
is that we can't enact a new law or ordinance.
That hamstrings the city.
Pardon me?
That hamstrings the city.
Yeah, it hamstrings the city. Of course it does.
So what's the benefit for the city?
What's the benefit for the city?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's a benefit. I don't know.
Like that's everything you pass is going to have a benefit for the city. I just do a lot of stuff for residents, too.
So. I know. I'm just...
Yeah, yeah, well, that's something...
I'm just asking.
Well, that's what we need to discuss.
If we're going to approve it, why would we approve it?
At our next meeting.
Interstate Rock, or is there something that's positive for the...
When we get into this at the next meeting, those are the kind of questions we need to get into and ask. What benefit is the city to approve this? Secondly, the city may not adopt, enact, or amend an existing land use regulation or ordinance that would prohibit, restrict, regulate, or otherwise limit critical infrastructure materials operations, including vested critical infrastructure materials operations as defined in the new code. Now, the little wrinkle there is, they're talking about we can't interpret existing ordinances or regulations that would limit or restrict when we're talking about vested rights, okay? Vested rights of the operator, which is something that's defined under the new law, okay? And basically, in order for the operator to have a vested right, it's got to be, has to be a critical infrastructure material, and it has to be an existing legal use. Okay, so if we're talking about a batch plant, for example, that wouldn't qualify. That would not prevent us from taking action to prevent or govern or do something with a batch plant or cement plant, because it's not an existing legal use at this point.
It's not an approved use for a city.
No.
Either.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, that it gets a little bit confusing because they kind of mix the two statutes. But anyway, the third protection, the city shall ensure that any of the city's laws or ordinances that define or prohibit a public nuisance exclude from the definition or prohibition any critical infrastructure materials operations on the land that is consistent with sound practices applicable to the materials operations unless that use bears a direct relationship to public health or safety. That means if we have an existing nuisance ordinance, we can't interpret that nuisance ordinance in a way that makes them in violation of the nuisance ordinance unless it relates to public health or safety. Okay?
Okay, well, I'm...
So no, you can read through this later on, and we can talk about
I'm
this.
I'm still not getting why they feel they need to do it. Why have they done that?
That's something, again, that I think we need to delve into, obviously. And at the next meeting, we can have representatives of Interstate Rock here to go through it and explain all that.
Are they afraid that the city is going to shut them down, or is that why they're doing it?
I don't know. I don't know that we could shut them down, frankly, because of the new law that was passed. Gives them vested rights in certain activities out there. They already have vested rights. Whether we grant a protection area or not, they already have, according to the new law, they already have vested rights in certain activities out there.
So the reason everyone's upset is because they think that that means they're going to put a cement plant down there?
I think that's one of the big things that people are concerned about, that they're going to come in there. They're going to expand. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be even more dusty and dirty than it already is. And there won't be anything that we can do about it because we've lost all control. I think that's what people are concerned about.
And that last statement, from what we're hearing, if we granted the thing, have we lost all control?
I don't think we have lost all control. What makes us lose control is the passage of the new statute by the state legislature. This new last legislature, there's a number of gravel extractions along the Wasatch Front, and people were up in arms, saying you're damaging my property. It's noisy, it's dusty, it's not healthy. Da 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 da. And this was the legislature's response to it, was to strengthen that for the benefit of these operators.
Who's in the legislature? Developers and businessmen.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. So, anyway, one of the other protections is that if for any new subdivision within 1,000 feet, we have to have on the plat a statement warning people that they're going to be buying property next to a critical infrastructure materials protection area. Da, 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 da. So people are put on notice.
Which is some of these letters here, they said we weren't given notice.
And then finally, one of the other benefits for these folks is that in order for us to condemn property for a roadway or some of those kinds of things, doesn't make it impossible. It just makes it more difficult. We have to jump through additional hoops. The city would have to jump through additional hoops to condemn property, for example, for a roadway or something like that. So that's one of the other benefits it gives them. But you can read all that as you go through this.
I think Matt's question is an important one. What's the benefit to the town to approve it?
Why would a town approve this? Why would they not just say, if it doesn't hurt us to not approve it, why would we just... recommend not approving it.
Yeah.
And well,
each situation's case by case basis. I can't really answer that particular question. That's something we need to hear from the operator to show us why there's some benefit to the city in providing a protection area. But again, even if we did not approve this protection area, they'd still have those rights that have been passed by the legislature this latest go-round.
So I can kind of see what happened if every city just balked at passing these. The legislature come by and make it mandatory. So,
yeah.
If every city said, no, we're not going to do it, and then they up their enforcement of noise and other stuff, I can see the reciprocal of that.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's just a really, really brief overview. What we're doing tonight, again, is just to introduce it to the Planning Commission. Next week it'll be on the agenda. We'll be in the next room next door. People will be able to come. We should have the operator here to explain it from his perspective. We can begin then to formulate some sort of a recommendation that we can hopefully have in place by June 16th.
Thank you for digging into it and putting together that summary. That really helps. And this is something new to us.
Yeah. Well, it's new to everybody. This new law, by the way, only took effect on May 7th.
A week ago?
A week ago, yeah. On May 7th.
And next week is 2 weeks from tonight, just to clarify.
Yeah, right. So, as you guys go through this stuff, if you have any questions or concerns or issues, I'm more than happy to sit down and meet with people individually at my office. Or, you know, if you want to come, a couple of you want to come in and chat, I'm more than happy to do that. I also told the folks out here I'd do the same thing. If they have questions or concerns, I'd be happy to meet with them as well. Because in the final analysis, we're not trying to pull a fast one on people. We're here to protect our city, basically. We want to do what's right for everybody. And so there's no motivation to, I don't know.
Yeah, in fact, we've got to find the motivation of why do it.
Well, yeah.
But my understanding is they were talking about asphalt.
Well, and that's, again, what I tried to explain a moment ago. There is a provision in the new law which allows them to construct an asphalt or batch or cement batch plant, okay? But that's only if they have a vested use. And in order for it to be a vested use, it has to be an existing legal use. Okay? Right now, there's no existing legal use out there for a batch plant. There's no use as a batch plant out there. So that particular section of the code is not going to allow them just simply to come in and start building a batch plant, regardless of what we do with the protection area.
So you're saying it can't happen?
Well, I'm saying that it's not author. What we're doing here, if we approve this, let's say we approve it, we're not approving a batch plant. We're not approving a asphalt plant.
But they could still come in and request it.
They probably could come into the city and request a change of zoning or change of designation of the property to allow that, if that's what they want to do. The city wouldn't have to necessarily grant it. They would then go through that process of having a public hearing, analyzing all the things that, you know, that we're going to be going through in the next little bit anyway, you know.
So in other words, it's actually a whole separate issue to the critical infrastructure approval.
Yeah, it is. The batch plant and the asphalt plant is a separate issue under the House Bill 355 as opposed to what we're doing under Title 4117 for approval of a protection area.
That information on the staff plan was put out by the Woodworking Community page, and it's false information. Interstate Rocks never had any, has never wanted to go in and do an asphalt plant or a concrete plant. And I've already talked to Chase. Chase is going to hold a meeting next week to try to deal with some of the people, in specifically Colorado State, because that everybody's so mixed up on those two things that aren't going to happen. They're not permitted uses. They're not even looking at what the real issue that we're talking about is. So that just needs to be thrown out the door.
We're an approved use city, which means in the zone lists all of the uses that are approved in that zone. And if they're not listed there, they're not approved in the zone. And none of those are listed in any zone in our city. They're not approved in our city. We'd have to change the zone. Change zoning ordinance before that could happen, okay. Irrespective of this.
The one thing that has people nervous, again, is the language of this new law that says if they have a vested use, they can continue to use that, and they can use it on additional land that they acquire. And they can expand it, and all those kind of things. And so they think that's what we're approving. That's not what we're approving. We're not approving any of that. That's under the existing law that was just passed All we're doing is approving a protection area, which gives those limited protections that I just kind of referred to. Clear as mud, right?
So are we gonna have a meeting on this on the last 2 weeks?
A meeting on what?
The critical infrastructure. 2 weeks.
Can we have? I think we've already told citizens that we were.
Well, I told them that it could be in the next couple of meetings, either that meeting or the first one in June. But it's not going to be a public hearing.
Right.
So it's not going to be, they can listen. But they
public
can't.
Hearing won't be at the Planning Commission at all. That's the City Council's.
So whatever date, you know, Faye thinks we're safe with.
We're doing the mixed use in 2 weeks. Do you think we can fit all of that in a meeting?
Brad would prefer to wait until the first meeting in June when he's here to bring back what he's doing. You know, he said he could have it ready, but he wants to sit down and work through the logistics with you. So we could, if you guys are ready, do that critical infrastructure meeting in 2 weeks.
I think we can be.
And from my perspective, I think we definitely need to have it on the agenda.
Okay.
Just because, you know, if we wait until I think the following week is the 11th, mm-hmm. that doesn't give us a whole lot of time to formulate a recommendation, get it prepared, and get it to the council otherwise. So I think it's going to take not only next meeting, but also on the 11th to maybe fine-tune it, talk about it more before we come up with something. That's just my
let's put it on the next meeting's agenda, please. Is that you? Further discussion? Okay, that would bring us to adjourning. We don't even need a motion.
Let's say it anyway.
I move we adjourn.
All right.